You know, we've been talking about the Spirit over the last course of time. And today we're going to talk for a few minutes about the Spirit again. And the reason I had Dale go first, because I want to end with a time of prayer. Today's message is called Going Against the Spirit. We've been talking about the power. We were talking about restricting the power. And we were talking about embracing the power. We were talking about unleashing the power. And all along, we're referring to the Holy Spirit of God. And yes, we can go against the Spirit. Last week, many of you will remember that we talked about Stephen's example in Acts. And Stephen got to a point in his life when he was filled with the Spirit of God, proclaiming the good news of Jesus to supposed religious people, and he challenged them with these words, "Why are you so stiff-necked, and why are you always opposing the Holy Spirit?" Friends, they're not the only ones that can oppose the Holy Spirit. We have a wrestling match going on. It's called the Spirit versus the flesh. Every one of us, if we have not yet surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we've got this wrestling match going on that's resisting the invitation of the Holy Spirit of God to come and be partakers of the Master, come and dine with Jesus, to come and invite Jesus Christ into your life. If you have trusted Christ as Lord, you're still in a wrestling match because the flesh is still wanting to go one way and the Holy Spirit of God wanting you to, me too, go in another way. Here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read it in two translations. I love these translations. So let me read it to you briefly in both translations. The first one is from the New King James Version. And so it says, Paul, writing to the churches in the region of Galatia, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I challenge people all the time to memorize that simple little verse. Why? Because that is reality. We are wrestling against our flesh. The Spirit is trying to get us to go this way, to reflect the image of Jesus. Our flesh is constantly trying to drag us back. And so this verse is absolutely crucial for us to memorize, to certainly at least know, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Jim. Walk in the Spirit, CMA people. Walk in the Spirit, people of God. And we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's Paul's challenge to us. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's this war going on. This war of your will, if you will. This war in your mind, if you will. Flesh wanting to drag me that way. World saying, "Sure, Jim, go ahead, it's okay." Spirit saying, "Jim, it ain't okay. God's got a better plan." This wrestling match going on between the Spirit and the flesh in us all the time. And then he lists in 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And he has this whole list of stuff that we can get bogged down in if we let the flesh lead us. Stuff that we can not only get bogged down in everyday life, but the consequences, I assure you, according to Paul, are very grave. Here's what he says. "Now the works of the flesh are really evident, which are adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I want to give us a glimpse of next week, because next week we're going to talk about the benefits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, better known as patience, These are benefits of the fruit of the Spirit. And he lists the nine: kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then in 24, to go along with the verses that we've just read, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Friends, listen to me a second. It was Jesus that went to the religious ruler called Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again. This is not a flesh thing. This is a spirit thing." We've talked about this spirit thing for a good month now. And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." That's a spirit being reconnected to God's Spirit. And when we are born again in the Spirit, Paul says to us, "You have crucified that flesh. You have laid it to rest. You have killed that nasty old self that used to be in you. You have crucified it," he said. Those who are of Christ have crucified the old ways with its lusts and its passions and desires. You might say to you, "Yeah, but Jim, when are we supposed to have some fun?" You've heard that. So have I. Yeah, but. What about life's fun? I assure you, brothers and sisters, God offers you a peace and a love and a joy and a patience and a goodness and a gentleness and a kindness and a long-suffering that is also good. And walking with Jesus is fun. And yet there's this fleshly thing going on in us that says, Jim, go ahead and do that. You deserve a break. Or, John, Judy, Joe, whatever your name is, go ahead, you deserve a break. Yeah, it might be against what the God says, but don't worry about that today. This fleshly war going on in us that says, the devil, like it were, and whispering in one ear, "Go ahead, boys. Go ahead, girls. You deserve a little break. You deserve a little fun. You deserve a little sin once in a while." And the Spirit saying, "I've got a better way." The Spirit of God saying, "I've got a better way." Remember last week I said, God has your best interest in mind. He does. God wants to take care of us. He has our best interest in mind. And we read these, we can read a set of verses like this and we think, please, preacher, spare me of this stuff. We think of God perhaps as some cosmic killjoy that's wanted to snatch away all our fun. That's not what He is at all. He's loving and compassionate. He has a better way than what the world says. Go ahead and treat yourself to this. He's got a better way than me being driven by anger all my life, selfish ambitions all my life, drunkenness, revelries, whatever it is that consumes me. He's got a better way for me than that. Let me read it real briefly in the New Living Translation, because our time is going so quickly. Paul says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide you." That's pretty easy to understand, ain't it? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Brothers and sisters, if you have been born again in your spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you. He wants to guide me. He wants to guide us in life. If you've not been born again in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying, "Come. Come receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Come to the Master." And so when we have come, eternity depends upon it, if we get around to it or not. If we never get around to it, eternity, well, let's just say we're only going to hear one words and they're, "Depart from me, I don't know you." So we need to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And when we do, Paul says, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Why? Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It's that simple. Let people of God, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Pastors and priests, leaders of the church, let the Holy Spirit guide us. Why? So we won't be doing what the sinful nature wants to do. There's this wrestling match going on in us. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. So he challenges us. He challenges us, followers of Christ, believers in Jesus, let the Holy Spirit guide us. On the other side of the coin, the next paragraph says, but when we follow the desires of our sinful nature, the results are very clear. When we let our flesh take us away, the results are very clear. I don't have to read them for you again. I've already read them to you. The results are very clear. The lust of our flesh, the sinful desires take us away, what Jesus referred to as the broad road that leads to destruction. Paul says it again, when we let our sinful nature take us away down that path, he says, let me tell you again, this is verse 21 of the NLT, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's our flesh that's leading us, not the Holy Spirit. It's our flesh that continues to make all our decisions, not listening to the Spirit. And so Paul is really quite clear in this going against the Spirit. It's like I've said for the last three lessons. We have a choice to make. Am I going to let self lead me? Or am I going to let the Spirit of the living God lead me? Self wants me to conform to the world. The Spirit says, be not conformed to the world, but be conformed to the image of Christ. It's this wrestling match. We've got to decide. What am I going to be part of? Am I going to be part of the flesh wandering down the pathway of life? Or am I going to be part of the Spirit? That's what our challenge is today. Am I constantly going against the Spirit? The Spirit is speaking to our ears every day. If we haven't trusted Christ as Lord, He's saying, come. If we have been born again, He's saying, let me guide you in the fullness of life. You are a new creation, needing to crucify the old ways. The Holy Spirit is trying to guide us. Friends, time is up. I got 3-4 pages of notes. And so let me just conclude with a couple things before we go to prayer. I was talking, to a good friend of mine just the other day. We were talking about some of the heaviness of life. And this person says to me, you know what, Jim? I've done the flesh thing, and it ain't working. And I can assure you, brothers and sisters, we all need to come to that reality. Because if we are going to do the flesh thing, it ain't going to work. On Judge Day, it isn't going to get it done. And so I can relate. And I said so to my good friend. I can relate. I've been there. I've done that. I've done the flesh thing. I've let the flesh make my decisions. When the Spirit of God was talking to me and saying, Jim, God's got a better way, I was listening to the flesh. Friends, we've all been there. We've all got the BC years before Christ. Maybe some are still in them. Still in the BC years. Still in the flesh years. Friends, I want to encourage you. Number one, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Eternity depends upon it. You say, Jim, I've done that. Good. Praise be to God. Then surrender to the Spirit. Get self out of the way. You say, Jim, how am I gonna do anything any different? Then deny yourself daily. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him lead you. You're going to have to get in His presence. We got time for everything else. We're going to have to get in the presence of the living God. Every day, get in His presence. Yeah, we should spend some time in His Word. Yes, we should spend some time in prayer. But get in His presence and listen to the living, loving Father. Let Him lead you in life. You say, Jim, I got a few valleys in life. So do I. So does everybody else. Let the Holy Spirit continue to lead you in the valleys of life, in the predicaments of life, in the difficulties of life. He wants to lead you. He wants to help you in these wrestling matches of life. And so, friends, I want to ask you today just to bow your heads. Let's bow our heads together. I just want you to think for a minute this morning. Where am I at with Jesus? Have I surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I really believed Him? Have I really trusted Him? Have I really realized that He's the only way to heaven? If I don't trust in Him, I'm not going. Have I really thought that through? And friends, if the answer is, I'm not sure, Jim, I'm not sure if I'm ready or not. Friends, I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You say, Jim, I've been in church a few times. Praise God, I'm glad you have. But going to church don't mean you're a follower of Jesus. It's a good sign, but it's your faith. It's your faith, your unconditional, unswerving faith in Jesus that saves, the grace of God and your faith. Have you surrendered your faith to the Lord Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, then praise God for that. Listen to His Spirit, because He's got a way for you that's good, that's healthy, that's eternal. But friends, if the answer is, I'm not sure, Jim, then listen to the Spirit that says, come. Come to Jesus. I want you to just take a moment in silent prayer. Just you and the Lord. There's some things you got to work out. I want you to work them out. Eternity depends upon it. Father, thank You for today. Today is not an accident. People are not here by mistake. You love them. You love every one of us. You love us so much You sent Jesus to give His life, to shed His blood on the cross so that we might live. But we got to be partakers of that death and resurrection. We've got to receive that by faith and acknowledge, yes, Lord, I know You love me. I know You sent Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. We got to receive that truth, the Bible says. And so, Father, I pray that as You're speaking to hearts today, maybe there's some people here today that need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And maybe, Lord, there's people here today that are in a wrestling match with the flesh. They've trusted Christ. They know they have. They've surrendered their life to Jesus, but they're in this wrestling match that just doesn't seem to end. Father, will You give them the strength to say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh? Sometimes we get so far down that fleshly path, we think, why bother? No use to fight it anymore. Just go with it. Father, give them the strength to say no to the flesh and give our ears an attentiveness to the Spirit's voice that's unmistakable. I know I'm hearing from the Spirit. I know He wants me in this direction for my life, not in the direction I've been taken. And so, Father, help us to hear Your voice. God, we need You. Oh, Lord, we do. And I just pray that as people are pondering here this morning the voice of God, they'll respond accordingly. And so, Lord, thank You for working on us. Thank You for being patient with us when we're well, trying to do our own thing. Thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Covered our sin. Holy Spirit, thank you for your leading.